Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. We're going to continue our great conversation. Of course, big thanks to Dan Schaefer, our political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area. If you're confused about politics, don't worry. Dan's got you covered. Just recombobulate. You can check out his Substack, the Recombobulation Area, or find his work at civicmedia.us. Right now, we got Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee joining us. Jeremy, the lead crisis at MPS, the saga continues. Somebody just got canned, it appears, for lying about their credentials. Who is responsible for the facilities at MPS? Tell us what the current status is, Jeremy.
Yeah, two key things. One, because MPS is this ever-evolving thing, if we can't comment, we don't know officially that Sean Kane, the facility manager, got fired, but he is, quote, separated.
You got to keep him separated.
There you go. He got arrested by the state. That's definitely not what happened. He got fined by the state of Wisconsin because he has an architecture license. It was invalid. He's supposed to have it for his job. He got fined about $1,300 as a result of having this expired architecture license for 3 years and representing himself as such. But he's also been heavily involved in the MPS lead crisis as the facilities manager. And it was revealed through some open records that early on in January, when the story broke, he didn't even want the health department to come in to one of MPS's schools to investigate what's going on. And now we know that obviously there's a crisis in many of their schools where poor practices were in place to maintain lead paint, and it's now degrading and poisoning children.
Again, Jeremy, this story just keeps on going. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to end. Every week we seem to be hearing about additional schools that we're concerned about. How concerned should parents be outside of the city of Milwaukee, Jeremy, when it comes to potential lead paint or other lead exposure of their children in other school districts throughout the state?
There's two simple things you can do. One, this is incredibly simple. Look anywhere your child is. If there's chipping paint, be especially concerned if that building predates 1978. That's when lead paint was banned. For peace of mind, when your child has an annual checkup, you can request a very simple blood test. They already might be getting one for any reason. And if they're six and under, they should be getting one annually anyways. That'll tell you the blood lead level. You can do that as an adult as well, but it's more important for a developing child to know if there's any blood lead contamination.
Folks, that's Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. He founded it. He writes for it. He helps keep local elected officials accountable to you. We talk about Milwaukee because Milwaukee serves as a microcosm for the state. I like to say, as goes Milwaukee, so goes the state. This is one of the examples of such a story where, hey, this might be going on and getting a lot of press in the city of Milwaukee because of our school district, but it's important to take note and check out how old your school buildings are where your child attends school and go get those lead blood tests if you've got any concerns. I wanted to move on, Jeremy, and talk to you about a newly elected alderman in the city of Milwaukee. Now, if you're not from Milwaukee, hang on, because this does relate up to the rest of the state. And in fact, a question that comes up pretty frequently that I've heard from people, as I am an economist, I will get asked all the time, how the hell do they set my energy prices? Why do I pay X and not Y for my water, gas, electric? Who determines what these prices are? Because we have this very interesting system in the United States. If you think back, folks, just a couple of years ago, that great deep freeze where Ted Cruz got on a plane and went to Cancun, that whole breakdown in Texas of their necessary energy infrastructure is because Texas is on its own energy grid. They literally are the cheese that stands alone. They are not connected to any of the other power grid across the United States. Why does this relate to the person who is just elected to an aldermanic seat in the city of Milwaukee, Jeremy?
You might be asking yourself that question if you're listening. Milwaukee, for the first time, it has this sewer socialism history. For the first time in decades, has elected a socialist to the Common Council. It's formally a nonpartisan body, but Alex Brower campaigned on, "Hey, I'm a socialist. I'm proud of it. I'm running with the support of the Milwaukee DSA, Democratic Socialists of America chapter." His key thing in his campaign, and I wrote a piece breaking all this down, was the idea of the city of Milwaukee buying We Energies, not buying the entire corporation, but the electrical grid within the city of Milwaukee. And so you talked about Texas being on its own grid. Milwaukee wouldn't get a power plant. It would still have to buy power from someone. But similar to how the waterworks works in Milwaukee and many other communities across the state, it would be a public utility providing power to your house. Alex thinks that would be cheaper and provide more reliable service. There's a lot of questions about would it actually be cheaper. There's a number of examples nationwide where the upfront costs of actually buying the utility just blow the whole deal up.
Yeah, it is. As an economist, when I heard that, I went thought to myself, good luck with that. Good luck. It's just not happening. But for everyone's edification out there in the state of Wisconsin and in southeastern Wisconsin, we have what's called a public service commission, and they literally are rate setters for energy prices. So if you want to find out more about that, contact your local county or city or village and ask them, how do your energy prices get set? Because that is a fascinating one. Jeremy is with us every Tuesday. Thanks so much. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jason Stein, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We're going to talk about education funding, what this last election cycle said about the fate of referenda across the state to fill the gaps that decreasing educational funding over the last 25 years has left in virtually every state county's school district. Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.